We don't show up empty-handed. Some fan took a pot shot at me for being a Bulls apologist. I'm not a Bulls apologist. A bunch of parfaits, maybe four or five parfaits. $3.50 a piece.
Well, we know you love
$3.50 a piece.
We know you love those rainbow cookies, Ira.
You know, and I love the rainbow cookies. So, is there any Carvels left in Florida?
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here, Mr. Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. Maybe I said that already. He's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper's here. We got a great Ira Kaufman podcast coming up. Thanks to everybody who listens to us and subscribes at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, at JoeBucksFan.com, of course. We're fired up. We got plenty to hit on today. We're fired up about the ongoing employee pricing at Bill Curry Ford and Sean Sullivan. Yes, Ira, there are still 2024s available. He's given even more money off on those. There are additional savings. There's the Ira Kaufman discount that you got to ask Sean for. See it all at BillCurryFord.com.
Maybe I should go. Maybe I should go in there and bring my 2020 and try to get a 2024. Why not?
Hey,
great
well,
deals.
Even with you being Ira Kaufman, you're going to get the same treatment anybody else gets because that's how they are at Bill Curry
and
Ford.
And he wants your vehicle.
They are hungry for used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com, family-owned, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Gorgeous new showroom. You can make an appointment to test drive. They'll bring a vehicle out to you. They've got mobile service. They're open Sundays. Just get it done, and you're going to be really excited. But see those new offers at BillCurryFord.com. Savings on top of savings on top of savings. And Ira, how are you? I know you went to an 80th birthday party the other day. Did you get your Italian cookies?
We didn't go. We didn't go because I found out there was going to be 20 to 25 people there. And I discussed it with my darling wife, and we both said she can't take that chance. She can't be in the room with a lot of people anymore. Her immunity is low, you know, a month out of the hospital. She don't want to go back in. You know, we're supposed to go to New York. I'm worried about the flight. I'm worried about the city. But we didn't go. Now, Steve, I'm looking across the parking lot here, and I just had a very scary flashback, Lee, because I saw a couple of sand cranes crossing the road.
Oh, you told me the story.
It reminded me of what happened when me and Cummings were playing golf 20 years ago, and I hit this drive. Might have been the best tee shot I ever hit. It was a screaming line drive. It was on the way up. It looked like an Ohtani home run, Lee. You know, exit velocity, 108. And I didn't realize, you know, Cummings told me to keep my head down. And I did. And I never looked up from the tee box. And there was a sand crane crossing the fairway. And while the ball was on its rise, it hit it right in the throat. Right in the throat. Down it went. And I ran out there and tried to pick it up. And it collapsed on me.
Did you try to give it mouth to mouth?
I didn't.
Or would it be mouth to beak?
And then when we find, you know, the pro came over, what the hell happened? He goes, I've never seen.
Oh, he was all bent out of shape?
I've never seen anybody do this. And then Roy and I got back in the cart, and we went down the cart path, and I said to Roy, that damn bird cost me 50 yards off the tee. Cummings goes, nobody else would say anything like that, Ira. Shame on you.
If I played golf, I would. So you did a Randy Johnson.
I had a bad flashback over there, Steve. Anytime I see a stand crane.
Are you sure your wife just doesn't want to be seen with you?
Well, that could be part of it.
Right.
So we didn't go to the 80th birthday party. We did not go.
John Spytek, former Buccaneers.
Big article in The Athletic.
Big article, feature story on him in The Athletic. Now, I didn't read it yet, but you gentlemen did, since you are very well-read, informed.
I want to say as an introduction before I bring Lee into this. Lee, I got to say, you know, you give credit when it's due. The Athletic does some good stuff, Lee.
This is one of them.
They do some good stuff. Yeah. They got good people.
What did I miss? Jason Light was involved in this thing. Did Spytek reveal some Buccaneers secrets? What's going on?
Spytek was quoted ad nauseum.
Yeah,
right,
and they spoke with other people, too. They being Dan Pompey. I've known Dan Pompey since the 80s when he was a Bears beat writer.
Yeah.
Very underrated writer.
Won that Pro Football Hall of Fame writer award.
Oh, is that right?
Which is very prestigious.
Well,
that's the one
he
that
deserves.
Is still working on me for that one.
He deserves. Anyway, to Spytek. Apparently, and this is the interpretation I got from Pompey's article, the Bucs were leaning on signing Jameis to a long-term deal. And it was Spytek who talked to the organization, no, we can do better. And given Spytek's lineage up at Michigan, no, he didn't play for Bo Schembechler, but Schembechler's fingers were all over that program. And guess who Schembechler played for? And this will trigger Steve. Woody Hayes, you know, what can happen on a pass? Only three things, and two are bad.
That's right.
So I could see why Spytek, even though Jameis threw for 5,000, I could see why Spytek was triggered.
Which makes sense because much of the article was about the relationship going way back between Spytek and Brady. Spytek
back
and
to
Brady.
Michigan days.
Back to
when
the
they
Michigan
were teammates.
Days. He also talked about Brady's role with the Raiders.
Also in this article, Pombe laid it out that when Spytek was looking at veteran quarterbacks to bring in.
Yep.
When I guess he was leading the charge, we got to do better than Jameis.
Maybe Bridgewater, guys like that.
He was looking at a bunch of guys, and he tells Jason Light, hey, Brady still got it.
Yeah, he still
got it. So many words. And what was, you read the article, however, what was Light's reaction?
He left.
He laughed at
him. He left.
And then a couple of days later, Light goes back into Spytek's office and goes, hey, you know, you're right. I've been watching Brady.
He still got it.
Then, you know, Spytek said, hey, I think he might be a free agent. Another cool thing in the story was they got like a half dozen guys together. It was Spytek, Light, Arians, McCartney, Beal, and Mike Greenberg. And they got them together. And this was basically Nimitz planning to ambush the Japanese fleet at Midway. They got these five or six guys together. No one could say a word outside the building. They had to keep it amongst themselves.
They gave it a nickname, something with Shoeless Joe Jackson.
About what fascinated me was they were scared if word got out, Steve, that they were going after Brady. You know, they didn't think they could get him. They at best, it was a roll of the dice that they would spook other quarterbacks. Well, we're not going with Tampa Bay because they're getting Brady. So they had to keep it like double secret probation. They couldn't speak about it to anybody, not their wives, not their kids, not anybody, nobody. Just those half dozen guys in the draft room, they called it. Those are the only guys, I'm assuming maybe they tipped off the Glazers. So they went about it very clandestine. And basically, Spytek was one of the point people because he had a relationship with Brady. It goes back to Michigan. And obviously, Light had a connection, too. And so Light tells Spytek, okay, what are we going to use to try to get him to Tampa? You really think Tom Brady, of all places, would go to Tampa? And Spytek told Light, sell your roster. If you build it, he will come. And that's why they named it after Shula Joe Jackson.
Something about Field of Dreams and that
the
was
cornfield.
The cornfield.
The Joe Jackson thing, I've heard that story before from Light. So that,
but not this detail, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, in the room and everything?
He had said that that was their secret name and they were afraid the word would get around the league and it, you know, they didn't know what was going on. But the truth here, of course, is somewhere in the middle because allegedly, they weren't allowed to talk to Brady until free agency hits.
We know that goes on.
You know, and then that.
Pompey, he couldn't cover all the angles, but one thing he did leave out, Steve, which I think it was significant, he didn't mention Jameis's last two games of 2019, which I think sealed his fate.
I pulled it up here, and what the first time Jameis is introduced, it says in Tampa, Jameis Winston, the former first pick in the draft, arguably had the best season of his career in 2019 under Arians. Quote, the assumption was that the Bucs would commit to Winston long-term, even though he had led the league in interceptions. Whose assumption? Is he talking about the media across the country?
I don't get that.
Yeah, the team.
He doesn't say the
That's
team.
Well, he leads me to believe. You know, use the word assumption.
Well, he might have screwed up by leading you to believe.
I can only say what
Yeah.
And the words he put together and how he put them together leads me to believe that it was the team. And that Spytek was the guy's like, we can do better.
Well, he didn't get it from Joe Buck's fan podcast because when the 2019 season ended, the three of us thought that the quarterback position was very much up in the air, and none of the three of us thought that Winston was guaranteed anything.
Yeah, Lee had said written many times, you know, find a team-friendly deal for Jameis. Very team-friendly. Let him figure it out in the sixth year, see what happens. And
I think he lost Arians, Lee.
Yeah.
When he lost Arians, that was it.
Arians went out and said door number two, and he said the Tom Brady line to me in February.
Yeah.
You know, when I said, well, who?
When he shouldn't have.
Yeah, when he shouldn't have, and he got away with it. Because
another element I thought was excellent in that story, you know, Brady was used to having basically a one-on-one sit-down with a high level, with Belichick. He would sit with every week, just him and Belichick. And he would go over the game plan, what to look out for, et cetera, et cetera. And he wanted to continue that with the Bucs. And so Light told Spytek, and we'll have a couple scouts do it, you know, some underlings. And Spytek, it comes across like Spytek was outraged. No, I'll do it. We're not going to give this to a couple of scouts. This is Tom freaking Brady. And so he had McCartney come with him. Anyway, one of the first meeting for week one, Spytek, McCartney, and Brady. And Spytek was going on and on about Lattimore. And I guess Brady
Marcus Lattimore.
And I guess Brady.
He's one of the top DBs in the league.
And I guess Brady thought he was blowing smoke. He's not Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happened week one? Lattimore picks off Brady. Instant trust.
But, Lee, they also mentioned how before a game or maybe a lot of games, Spytek looked over and there was Brady reading his report right before the game started, a half an hour before. And it was very detailed about what to look out for the other defense.
Yeah, Spytek said he would literally take an entire workday to come up with his syllabus, for lack of a better word, of what he was going to talk to Brady about. An entire day.
So, Ira, does this make you concerned reading this? Did you walk away concerned? Hey, the Bucs lost a hell of a lot with Spytek going to the Raiders. Now, I don't know. I said I didn't read the whole story, but I don't know if he was still doing scouting reports like that for Baker Mayfield or not. That's a good question to ask Todd Bowles this week.
Well, my short answer to your question is Spytek's going to be missed dearly around one Buck place. I think Light leaned on him in almost any situation. He ran it past Spytek first. What do you think? What do you think? He was a voice of reason. Now, it doesn't mean he
sounding
can't be
board.
Replaced. Sounding board. I think certainly in the first year at least with Beal
McCartney.
McCartney. Yeah.
Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Paul McCartney.
There, he'll remember now.
Being promoted. Lee, it should be smooth, but let's not discount Spytek's impact on this organization.
Wait a minute.
So you think they missed Spytek already in free agency in the draft?
I didn't say that.
Well, you said, then where have they missed him? Well, you said the impact's going to be felt.
They're going to miss him during the season.
All right.
They're going to miss him during the season.
Very closely related. Now, I did come to the conclusion a little bit like Ira. Not as quite as over the top. I thought, I'm going to miss this guy. But Spytek pretty much has his front office picked out. Got guys from the Broncos he used to work with. Got guys from the Eagles he used to work with. To my knowledge, nobody from the Bucs. That hit me more than, oh my gosh, Light's losing something. It's like, okay, what are the Bucs missing that he didn't want any Bucs people? To where, you know, maybe he tried to,
maybe
and they
he
declined.
Tried to. Maybe
yeah,
he tried
but,
to.
But so far, no one from the Bucs has gone to Vegas. It's either guys he worked with the Eagles, guys he worked with the Broncos. That came up. That's what came up for me.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Maybe Light did whatever it took to keep the guy.
I said this before Spytek went there. The Raiders' job is not a good job. And I think if you want your job as whatever your job is in Tampa, unless you're getting offered a big raise, it's super stable in Tampa. In Vegas, you got Mark Davis. Who knows if Tom Brady changes what he wants to do every other year.
True.
And Spytek is sort of a surrogate of Brady. So they just fired their last general manager who lasted 1 year and actually did a good job. Had a pretty good draft.
You're saying
stuff.
Spytek should have waited for a better situation.
No, I'm saying that maybe whoever he wanted to pull from Tampa was like, man, I don't know.
I see what you mean.
John, you might be there 1-2 years. Jason's going to be here another 5-10.
Guys don't turn down GM jobs too often.
No,
not
they
too
shouldn't.
Often.
They shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. But I agree with Steve. I don't think the Raiders, I don't think that's a good spot.
Is it?
I don't like the ownership. I don't like it. I don't trust it. They got a lot of holes.
Is it fair to say, best case scenario, is Light here 10 years from now?
Well, that would mean
that's
he's
a
got
tough
20,
question.
Years as a, 20 years as a GM.
Yeah, they don't usually go that much farther than 20 years. I mean, the guy I'm thinking of that was forever, guys.
He can stay as long as he wants, Light. That's the way to put it.
If they keep winning, yeah.
He can stay as long as he wants.
There's two guys that spring to mind. One of them, Kevin, used to be with the Steelers.
Colbert?
Kevin Colbert. He was about 20 years.
I said Colbert. Yeah.
About 20 years.
Good drafter.
Colbert, that clown.
Yeah.
and Ozzie Newsome, about 20 years, right, with Baltimore?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, so what I'm saying is general managers, even the successful ones, they don't stick around for more than 20 years, roughly.
Napoleon also?
Well, he moved around.
Yeah, he moved around.
He moved around.
It just depends on the organization, how old they are when they get in.
Where's Light going to get a better situation then?
Well,
Miami.
He's got the full stamp of approval from ownership.
I don't know how much they're paying him, look, he's here. He's happy here. I'm sure he's here at least another 5 years. You know, to predict him to be here at 20, that's pretty rare.
You didn't ask me if Todd Bowles was going to be here in 20 years.
The reason why I was getting at with the 10 years is to reinforce what Steve's talking about. If McCartney or Beal or Greenberg, if they're looking to get a GM job, you know, Light's been here 10 years, maybe 15, maybe 20, that if they just be a little bit patient for a couple of years, they could fill his spot whenever he leaves.
He's still fairly young, though, right, Steve? He's young. He's in the prime of his career.
I'm not trying to push the guy out. I'm just saying,
He'll leave on his own terms.
Right? I hope he tunes into this podcast just at this moment.
He'll leave on his own terms.
Well, that's the way I put it. You don't know that. I mean, you hope he does because we want the Bucks to win. He's obviously got a ton of street cred, and it's not even worth talking about now. I mean, they go
4-13. Jason Light's not going anywhere. He's safe.
So, Ira, look, you know how I've obsessed with your opinion of Todd Bowles, what he needs to do this season, Lee as well. I think there's a higher bar. But
some fan took a pot shot at me for being a Bowles apologist. I'm not a Bowles apologist. All I said was if he goes 6-11, he's not going to be fired. I'll stick with that. I'm going to stick with it. He's not going to be fired off one bad year. I don't think he will.
All right. Bowles is coaching this team for the first time since Tom Brady left as being the odds-on favorite. They are the betting favorite. They are the media favorite. They are everybody's favorite
for what?
To win the division.
Oh, all right.
Okay, last year it was the Falcons. The year before, everybody's like, oh, Peter King's saying they're going to win two games.
Who said it was the Falcons last year?
The national media
consensus. Yeah, because of Kirk Cousins. Oh, Kirk Cousins is the savior.
Not the Vegas over-under.
Not the Yes. The Bucks
People
were not
in love with the Falcons last year.
Well, last year the Bucks were 9.5, I think.
No, the Bucks were like 7.5. Seven. Yeah, I'll look it up.
All right.
But no, the Bucks were the number two Vegas pick in the division by two games.
They Atlanta were Gaga over Kirk Cousins.
Totally over Kirk Cousins. And
this
year it's the other way around. And Bowles hasn't proven that he can coach a team as a favorite too well. Because what do? They get out to a quick start, then they're the favorite, then they implode, and they go 4-7, 4-6. And then when the pressure's off, they come on back. Now he's got the pressure from day one. The Bucks are going to have 4 or 5 primetime games. Last year they had 4. They're a team with a lot of fantasy football guys on it. Mayfield's a big name. They're considered a favorite. They're going to get at least 4 games.
Exciting offense.
Yeah, exactly. Put up points. It's what the network wants. So the Bucks have lost 5 of their last 6 night games in the regular season. 5 of 6. It's not a coincidence. It's not just, oh, man, what terrible luck. They also lost the playoff game at night. They stink at night with Todd Bowles. Okay?
5 of 6 is a trend. That's not a happenstance.
So
now, most of those teams were pretty good teams. Now, I'm not counting Atlanta last year. They lost to Atlanta at night, and they shouldn't.
The Bucks are supposed to be a pretty good team.
Okay.
Baltimore.
I mean, I
shouldn't
understand.
Go 1-5 against anybody.
All right.
So my point is, Ira, despite this pressure as the favorite, ESPN did their survey, 80 panelists and editors, whoever, 80 guys on the street, whatever. Bucks were considered number 12 team in the league right now after the draft. 7th best in the NFC. And so he's got the pressure. He's got the primetime games coming, which is more pressure. And does that change anything about your thoughts?
I think Bowles loves it. I think
really?
I do. I think he loves it. He's a positive guy. He thinks this is a hell of a team. So do the Glazers. Okay, let's go. They've increased their win total two years in a row. If they increase it 3 years in a row, they're going to be in rare company among the current teams. That's not easy to do 3 years in a row. I think they can do it. I think they will do it. And to Steve's point, I don't think Bowles minds the high expectations. I don't think so. And the Glazers have high expectations, and Buck fans have high expectations. Why shouldn't they? They just won 10 games.
Everybody back on offense, that was really good.
Maybe fewer injuries this year. Maybe.
One major question mark. What do you think it is? Major question mark. And people don't like to think about it.
It's got
to
be on the defensive side of the ball.
No. No.
Mayfield injury?
No.
Grizzard?
Josh Grizzard.
How bad can he be, Lee?
Well, is Bowles going to get lucky 3 years in a row with a brand new now, to his credit, Liam Cohen called plays in Kentucky when he was offensive coordinator down there. But Canales had never called plays. Well, he did really well. Cohen obviously did well, being a first-time NFL play caller.
Now, wait a minute, Lee. Canales ain't Mike Martz over here. Let's take it easy.
No, but
they
did well.
They averaged 20 points with Canales.
His starting quarterback had a career year with him. I don't think I need to say a whole lot more.
Running game still stunk.
Running game was horrible, and we found out why now. But still, it's a first-year coordinator. And is Bowles going to get lucky 3 years in a row?
Fair enough.
Is it fair to say lucky when he hires him and Bowles has said he's very hands-on with the new coordinators. Shouldn't we give him credit for that?
3 years in a row, that's...
No, I'm just saying lucky implies that he...
No, my idea of luck is 3 years in a row. Twice in a row, okay. 3 years in a row, that's
excellent. I think you're giving too much credit to Canales, Lee. A little too much credit. I think he was okay. Just because he got a head coaching job doesn't mean
he was okay.
Great.
Well, they got better.
You don't see
the
Byron Leftwich having a whole head coaching job, so come on.
Yeah. Can Grizzard screw this up? I mean, I can order a handoff to Bucky Irvin. I mean, I don't have any experience.
I think where Grizzard can screw this up is we really don't know if he can scheme the running game like Liam Cohen did, because he was masterful.
Yes.
They changed it. They got two back sets. They adjusted beautifully. And obviously, look, Bucky Irvin made everybody look good.
He ran wide. When they didn't run wide for 2 years, everything between the tackles.
But he was really good scheming that run
game. He was.
And not everybody is. Bruce Arians wasn't as good as Liam Cohen scheming the run game.
Ooh.
And the run game,
you may be on to something.
Any reason you think the O-line will have a down year, Steve?
Injury?
No, there's no – I mean –
They're young. They're young.
Barton should be better. The rest of them are young.
Bauch should be better.
I guess you could say maybe Bredesen gets his first big paycheck and isn't as crazy as intense.
Well, like Lee said, maybe they won't have the continuity for health reasons. Mm-hmm. That's possible.
Yeah, I mean, can Grizzard screw it up? I think he might not be as good in the run game, and I don't know how he's going to deal with – Look, Canales didn't deal with it as well as he should have as far as the pressure to put the ball in the hands of these targets. We remember what happened with Chris Godwin. At the end of the day, that's a premier receiver saying, I'm not happy. Whether it was his wife saying or whatever, that's what happened. So he screwed that up. Canales, they overcame it late in the season. Last year, Cohen did a masterful job keeping everybody happy. But what would have happened if Godwin didn't get hurt? And then Evans needs the last play of the season to get 1,000 yards. That's a lot of pressure on Grizzard to get 1,000 yards, to use Egbuka, to get Godwin his touches, even if he's not 100% healthy. If he's on the field, he's going to want him. He's got to get everybody involved. I don't know how he's going to handle that.
Are you suggesting the only one ball theory might come back to bite him?
I think it's just going to be hard for him to keep everybody happy, and he's got enough to worry about as a first-year guy.
When's the last time we thought that was going to be a problem with the Buccaneers, is that they're overflowing with offensive talent, Lee? Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah, it's rare.
Now, I'm going to still harp on this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I didn't think they took a lot of deep shots last year.
They did not.
Didn't think they did.
They were a dink-and-dunk offense, and Cohen got mad at me about that.
Now, they averaged 30 points. I can't knock that. I can't knock.
Oh, yeah, that's same with me. I can't.
But I don't see the deep ball. I don't see it now. Like Lee said, Mayfield hasn't had a great rapport with some of these guys.
Trey Palmer. They've never been on the same page for whatever on long ball.
If this seventh-round pick makes the team, could he be a factor on a couple of long balls?
Could be.
No, I know the guy weighs about a buck 30.
He's not the deep threat on this team, Iret. He's not.
Well, Buka's not a blazer, Steve. He's not a blazer.
He's faster than Tez Johnson.
Here's
Is he?
Yeah, he's not quicker.
I've written this a bunch of times. I would like to see a deep ball more, but I can't quibble with the results.
All right.
Now, Cohen got mad at me last year. I referenced the dink and dunk, but I qualified it saying, but how can you complain about the results? And he still got mad at me, and I got called out at a press conference one time. But I think we're good. I wasn't offended. I laughed about it. But every week I would have Baker Mayfield's passing chart, and it was plain as day, right there the stats were on a graphic.
They're not great at yards after catch, Steve, for the most part. They're not great at it. You know who was good last year? Godwin, before he got hurt.
Oh, yes.
Was very
yes.
good with the yak. And
yes.
that's not his forte, necessarily. Evans is so-so with it. Trey Palmer, like you said, Lee, can't catch a long ball.
Yeah, I know what the deal is.
Part of it, Ira.
Otten is not necessarily yards after catch.
I mean, they're very good when you look at the Bucky Irving stats and out of the backfield. They're excellent out of the catch, after the catch. But like you said, Godwin got lost, and then that wasn't a huge part of the offense. But I think the league's changed a lot, Ira. Look, the Eagles run first team, led the league in rush attempts last year. The Lions run first team, run first. Now, they have the deep threat with Jameson Williams with the big yards per catch and all that, but they primarily run the ball. And this is the way the NFC's changed.
Not some of the AFC teams, Steve. Not the Chiefs.
No.
Not the Bengals.
But the Chiefs are doing
it. Not the Bills.
But those are their two guys they're trying to get past in the NFC. They're run-first teams without question.
With strong defenses. which the Bucks have yet to show in their new reincarnation.
That's why I was hoping they'd get a defensive tackle.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. Florida's Elite Restoration, they restore properties. Okay, that's what restoration means. When you have a disaster, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, water damage coming up from a broken pipe, whatever it is, they restore it. You call them 24/7. They come out free with the best technology and the best people to evaluate it. Well, what more could you ask for?
They deserve that elite title, Steve. Most companies don't. They do. And most importantly, we know people that have used them and can't say enough about them.
We absolutely do. And they've chatted about it here on this podcast. Florida's Elite Restoration, local company, family-owned, Josh Martin. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount. If you just call up when you first call to get something checked out, mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, and if you sign on for their services, you'll get $500 back, and they'll fight with your insurance company.
They know all the angles of the insurance industry.
All the angles, all the corruption that can brew. They're going to
nickel and dime stuff.
They're going to be your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator. Check out their 5-star Google reviews across the board online.
They'll show Josh Grizzard how to do it, Steve. That's what they'll do. They'll show Grizzard how to play offensive coordinator.
If they let him, they'd get the mold out of the Bucks locker room, that's for sure. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com.
I got to say two things real quick. Just to go back to something you kind of breezed over, Steve, and I want to flush this out because I know there's someone grumbling at you about this when you invoke fantasy football with the TV schedule. Can you explain that when you talked to the NBC sports president? I mean, I saw you. You're is at a Super Bowl media conference, and he told you to your face that one reason they pick certain teams to be on Sunday Night Football is fantasy football implications, because that will get eyeballs. That will get people to watch.
Oh. Well, the Bucks are now a fantasy team, right?
Well, they always have been. I mean, Mike Evans is a top fantasy guy every other year.
But not running back.
Now they got the running back element.
Isn't that what happened, Steve? You talked to NBC Sports President, and he told you that?
Yeah, I was told that's a huge factor because it keeps people watching, right?
Because otherwise people are like, what are you talking about, fantasy football?
No, the fantasy interest is a component to picking the schedules. Not a big component, but definitely a component. If the top running back in the NFL was on a crap team, that team would still get a couple of
prime time
games. No question.
Now, so here's something else that's related to the Bucs offense. When Light was on with Pat McAfee, and it was a highlight package that McAfee was running in the background. And then I saw another highlight package today by chance. And this Igbuka. There were three plays in this highlight package that McAfee broadcast, and I saw three of the same plays, but an additional one. Igbuka had passes tipped.
I saw something about this.
When he was being covered by a defensive back. Not like a lineman or linebacker, a defensive back. Like, 2 feet away from him, maybe. And Igbuka hauls it in like no big deal.
Like a Lynn Swan, yeah.
It blew my mind. I mean, it's one thing to catch a tipped pass at a linebacker or a lineman, because you got time to react. He had maybe a blink of an eye to react. One of the catches, he one-handed it.
That's hand-eye coordination, right?
And that's exactly what I wrote. I don't know if you read my story. Years ago, Bob Costas had an NBC show. You remember, Ira? It was after Letterman. It was an interview show. He had Bobby Knight in there one time. And for those who don't know, Larry Bird originally went to Indiana. Never played. He went there for about 2 weeks. And the hick from French Lick couldn't handle the metropolis that is Bloomington, Indiana.
That's right.
It was too
big
for him.
That's
so
right.
He left. Anyway, Knight said when he was recruiting Bird, he said as a junior in high school, he said he had the hand-eye coordination you would equate with Brooks Robinson. And I was like, wow. And if you think about it, that's for an infielder like Brooks Robinson, and for people who don't know,
wow.
Brooks Robinson was kind of the Ozzie Smith of third base for his time back in the 80s.
You might want to explain who Ozzie Smith is.
I cut it off at that. Sorry.
Gold glove every year.
Ultimate.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you think about it, guys like Brooks Robinson, Ozzie Smith, they have to have excellent hand-eye coordination. Like I said, I was watching Igbuka with these catches that were deflected 2 feet away from his hands. He still catches them. And I thought of what Bobby Knight said about Larry Bird and Brooks Robinson.
You know what's another good example of that, Lee, in sports? Deflecting a shot from the point in hockey. You're deflecting it with your stick.
Yes.
That's really a technique, and it's a skill.
Yes.
Guys practice it. They practice it. You got to be right on it.
Because that puck is so quick.
And then the goalie's helpless. All of a sudden, it makes a sharp turn.
Nothing you do.
Nothing to do. It's like you with one of my good paragraphs, Steve. You're helpless. You don't know what the hell to do about it.
I'm helpless.
What are you looking for over there, Stevie?
Well, we did write up the actual results for Sean Sullivan, our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, GM of Bill Curry Ford. He did on our long podcast.
Did he exaggerate his success rate, Steve? Did he exaggerate?
No, he got 11 correct. Now, that includes Travis Hunter in the number two slot.
So correct for the slot or correct for the team?
Sean was correct with the number two and the number five spots, even though the trade was made between Jacksonville and the Browns. Now, so that gives him 11 correct through the draft. But the caveat is, okay, you could say that's not correct, but all the other draft gurus are taking credit for picking Travis Hunter at number two. So he's right in there with everybody else. And he also deserves credit for the Eagles taking
Campbell.
Now, there was that
off a trade with the Chiefs.
Right. There was that last-minute trade that
They move up one
because the Chiefs, they were scared of the Chiefs. So the Chiefs moved back one and took Josh Simmons, the tackle. Sean had both of those picks.
So he gets credit for those.
Bottom line is his 11.
Anybody top him?
There's some fringe guys out there, but the big names, the Schragers.
Maybe J.C. Allen. Maybe J.C. Allen might have topped him.
So anyway, happy to write that up for Sean. Impressive stuff.
Very impressive.
Schrager got 8 right, but you could put an asterisk.
Schrager's talking to every general manager in the league.
He got 7 right. I'm sorry. You could give him a number 8 for calling that the Giants would trade back in to get Jackson Dart, the quarterback, but he didn't have the right team for a trade or whatever. But you could give that to him.
11's a big number, Steve.
Huge number. So that was really cool. You can listen to Sean's Best in Class draft wrap-up podcast. You can find that at Apple Podcasts and at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, anything else on your mind here? You know, we've got another podcast this week. We've got Todd.
Yeah, we're a week away from the schedule, Steve. Now, I got a question for you, Steve. What are the chances of the Bucks playing overseas this year? Are there any chances?
Yeah, I think it's whatever, 1-8 chance or something like that.
And if it happens, is Lee on the next train to Stuttgart?
It's a 1-9 chance that they play the Dolphins in Madrid. And hopefully they don't, because what happened the last time they played in Europe, in Germany, they came home and imploded.
Oh, right? That Cleveland game was ridiculous.
Yeah, they go to Cleveland. 2 weeks later, Todd Bowles doesn't know what to do. Tom Brady might throw an interception, and they had a losing record after that. In 2019, Arians and Jameis go out to England. He throws 5 picks. He loses his mind. He can't handle the food. 2011, the Bucks go out to England in 2011.
Josh Freeman.
The entire team is in a scandal. They don't win another game.
The New England that year?
Bears? It was Josh Freeman's first game. I don't remember who they...
Oh, that was New England. First game?
You're right. New England's first. He came in late. So, more important, Todd Bowles didn't know how to get his team ready when they came back from Germany.
What happened with the Munich game, Lee?
They kicked Seattle's ass.
Yeah, and then they came back and fell apart.
And then they fell apart. I guess they too much German beer. I don't know. Augustiner Brow.
Didn't they run the ball well in that game? Even though during that year they had a terrible running game?
That was Rashad White's best game running the ball, period.
And then they came home and fell apart?
Well, I didn't think they fell apart against Cleveland. They threw the game away because of Bowles. I mean, Brady was leading them to a touchdown drive, at least a field goal. And Bowles, like, no, he pulled the air out. He pulled the rug out from under Brady, said he was scared he was going to throw a pick. Of all people.
I remember that.
That's
one of Bowles' worst moments.
Well, I said they fell apart because the Browns were bad, and they were playing Jacoby Brissett. And, you know, come on. What are you doing? So that's my only concern with the schedule, really.
Who do you want for the opener, Steve? You asked me that last week, and I said I want Michael Penix week one.
Well, Bowles always has them winning on opening day, and they play well. They go on the road.
So
they're
you
ready.
Want a division
so I
wa- team.
No, I want a. I would take a division team, but since he's always got them ready, I'd want him to go up to Buffalo or something and take him on opening day.
Or play the Rams.
Or the Rams?
Yeah, one of those big road games, yeah.
Why? Because week one they're ready to go?
Bowles has a great record week one. They're always ready. They beat Minnesota a couple years ago. They
on the road.
Last year on opening day, Brady and Bowles were ready for – they blew out Dallas 19-6 or whatever it was, 21-6 or something, 19-5 I think
it was. They look good.
So they're ready opening day. Let's get a good opponent.
Who do you want, Lee?
Bowles always has them ready to play. Get the worst opponent out of the way.
Bring on a good team?
Yeah, Rams, Buffalo.
You want them on the road or you want them at home?
Don't care. You know what? I'd say on the road. You know, they're so worried about the heat so that's one less hot game.
Yeah, and there's others. You know, you got Detroit is on the schedule on the road. Houston, any of those opening day, that would be great. Now, my fun part of that is, Ira, is that if they lose opening day, well, then they've got a mental reset. Maybe they get their act together. It's not going to be a crushing loss because it was on the road against a good team. So that's not the worst scenario, but I think they can win it.
You want home games in September with the heat? Home games?
People always say that's an advantage. I've never seen it be an advantage. Outside of a couple Bears games when the Bears were pitiful. I'll never forget Raheem. Let's embrace the heat. And he was like, yeah, let's go practice 98 degrees and everything. Then Dallas comes in and kills them.
Have they been 3-1 each of the last 2 years? 3-1, Lee, each of the last 2 years. Boy, and then they squander it. And then they squander it in the midseason with the malaise.
Well,
malaise.
You're not wrong, but to be fair, you lose Evans and Godwin and Dean.
Didn't Bull say he figured out what's going on with the midseason slump?
Well, no, he didn't.
And he didn't tell us what it is.
No, he just said he figured out
the defense.
Something with
the
defense.
We shall see. Mo Howard famously said, we shall see.
Ira, you know, just because you brought it up, back in 2022 with Brady, they were 2-0, and then they lost to Green Bay and Kansas City, beat Atlanta, so they were sitting at 3-2, and went from there. So not 3-1 that year, but the other years 3-1. All right, Ira, you got anything you want to say goodbye to Bucks fans?
I want to tell them that we're going to be out of rookie minicamp this weekend, Steve. We're looking forward to seeing some of these guys. I want to see the 460-pound guy next to the 140-pound guy. And I want to talk to Bulls because we haven't had a chance to talk to Bulls since what? The first night of the draft? I can't remember.
Right, the day after the draft, he was sitting there with day after day one of the draft, he was sitting there with Egbuka and Light on stage, and except for his SiriusXM NFL radio interview that was not, 100% locally focused, he hasn't talked. Most coaches have already spoken after the draft, so lots to ask Todd Bowles.
I want to see what he says about this Central Arkansas guy.
He's got a lot to talk about. We have another podcast coming up before that, so we'll get into a little bit more of a preview of rookie minicamp and what that looks like. Lee, do you want to say goodbye to the people? You have a parting thought?
Ira, you're going to have a surprise for our readers, aren't you? You were talking about this earlier.
I haven't run it past Steve yet, but it's going to be a conversation starter.
Oh. If he approves it.
If Steve approves.
If I have to approve. Is this another birthday party?
We have No. It's a 10-part series. 10-part column series.
It's actually a great idea.
Take us right through the summer, Steve.
All right. Well, we'll be back. Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage has things on his mind.